Ave, and welcome to Emperors of Rome, a Roman history podcast from La Trobe University. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and with me today is Rhiannon Evans, Associate Professor in Classics and Ancient History at La Trobe University. This is episode CCXXXVI, The Madness of Commodus. To celebrate the 10th year of the Emperors of Rome podcast, Rhiannon and myself convened at a screening of the epic movie Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe. It was preceded by a live podcast recording in which we discussed the history and basis of the character Commodus, portrayed by Joaquin Phoenix. It was held at the Thornbury Picture House in Melbourne, Australia. Here's Rhiannon Evans. As we are gathered here to watch a movie of Gladiator, which for the record, I have never seen on the big screen.
I have, because I'm older than you.
What would you like to say at the opening of this podcast? What are your thoughts on the film and the historical accuracy and what we're about to sit through with the big rusty kind of screaming at the audience?
I feel very intimidated by having this behind me. I feel like, you know, it's a lot.
Just don't make eye contact with him.
Well, I have seen it more recently, probably than you, with my students. We're probably going to ruin it for you now by telling you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, there's going to be spoilers in this podcast, sorry.
Well, not only that kind of ruin, but hopefully we'll enhance it for you. Yeah, it is very much a Hollywood movie. It revived the ancient epic film, which is no mean feat, and had been killed off really in the early 1960s by a film that this is in large part based on. Not Cleopatra, which many people say killed it off, but a year later in 64, there was The Fall of the Roman Empire, which was also a flop. But even though this was enormously successful, Oscars and money coming out of its ears, we haven't really had any major blockbuster Roman epics since. I mean, we've had The Eagle.
There's been attempts at blockbuster Roman epics. There was another Spartacus a few years ago, I think.
Yeah. There was a Ben-Hur, but none of them have done that well. There was Pompeii, which my students love to hate. Do you even remember that?
Maybe.
It's got the guy from Game of Thrones in it.
Sure, yeah.
So this one kind of was the one that blew apart that Hollywood, you know, Roman epics don't work. But it hasn't really been followed up. So we'll see if Gladiator 2 manages to do better than those other attempts.
Mm. So the historical accuracy, though, was never really high on the list, I think, for this movie. When it looked at the history books, it tried to recreate Rome, which I think it did well, the look, the feel, and everything which made it more grounded as a Roman city. But as far as what happens in the history books, I think it just kind of liberally picked a few things that looked attractive, went with that, and threw a lot out the window.
Yeah, so we're going to do some things on our wish list that we wish wouldn't have been in it towards the end, I think. A lot of that goes, and I think this is in fitting with Ridley Scott's attitude towards history, where when he gets questioned by experts, he says, well, what do they know? Were they there? I mean, I think he's brilliant at making things look amazing. I'm a big fan of Ridley Scott and the look of films. It'd actually be interesting to see whether this, 24 years old now, whether the special effects and the look of Rome live up to what we're used to seeing on the screen these days. But for its time, it certainly looked amazing. But yeah, Scott's not really interested in the history. And, well, his scriptwriter picks a few kind of extraordinary things from the historical sources, and I think probably throws in a few things from other emperors and other periods too, to make it a suitably Hollywood story.
But they had historical consultants on this?
They had a historical consultant who I believe asked to have her name taken off it.
Yes, one quit, one asked to have the name taken off. I found some posts around the internet by a few reenactors who were involved who said the catering was very nice, and that was the most nicest thing that they had to say about the media. So, yeah, let's talk about Commodus, which I think was quite a masterful performance by Joaquin Phoenix. He read the brief and he ran with it. But when you look at the story of Commodus on paper, does it make a good villain for a Hollywood movie? If you were going with a historically accurate Commodus?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the bad emperors in the sources. The sources hate him and he's going to end up getting murdered. So that's never good for an emperor, is it? It means you're not popular. And obviously, as anyone who's listened to our podcast before knows, that most of our historical sources are written by the senatorial level of society. He kills loads of senators, so they're not fans. And they see him as being unworthy of the imperial position because of his behavior, especially going into the arena, which should belong to the lowest of the low in Roman society. So this is very unworthy for anyone from the elite. There's a ring of stories around him that mean that he can be the villain of any story, absolutely. And, you know, we've seen it before. In fact, it's been re-released recently. There's an infamous film of Caligula, and he's another ideal film villain. Nero features in a lot of the 1950s movies about Romans and Christians because he's known to have persecuted Christians. The only one who has, and this is, I think it should happen, and I guess it's sort of happening on TV now, is Domitian, is another one of the so-called bad emperors that we don't tend to see on films.
Mm. So with Commodus, I think that the way that it's shown in this movie almost tones it down. There's a lot about Commodus that I think would be quite unbelievable if you tried to put it on the screen.
Yeah, so this is one of my wish list of what should be in there, but I'm going to say it here anyway, is he should look like Hercules. He should dress up as Hercules. He should have the lion skin on his head and be portrayed carrying around the apples of the Hesperides, whatever they were, which represented immortality. He should have the big club and he should be acting. Well, I guess he does act in a kind of maniacal way because Hercules does that. But he modeled himself on him. And why isn't this there? And this was my big disappointment when I saw the film, because this is the most famous portrayal of Commodus that we still have, where he's in the guise of Hercules, this bust of him with the big lion head on his head. He looks incredible and ridiculous. I don't know why they missed that out. Did they think it was just
too ridiculous?
Yeah.
It's too unbelievable. It gets to a point where you just go, is that the movie or is that Joaquin Phoenix making a decision?
I mean, there is another model for this, which is that film I already mentioned, The Fall of the Roman Empire, which is also about Commodus, about both his father, Marcus Aurelius, who's played by Alec Guinness in that film, and the son Commodus, played by Christopher Plummer. And because it's Christopher Plummer, I have to admit, I love, he's both charming and cruel. And I think they threw away the charming part of that, or Joaquin Phoenix decided to do that. I don't see that happening here. He's got no empathy. He's a psychopathic character, but there's none of the kind of seduction going on here. It's pure nastiness.
It was good for the sake of this movie, though, because Rome became something that Maximus has to save.
Mm.
It also really contrasts, I guess, with his father, who we see the emperor, the aged emperor at the start of this movie, Marcus Aurelius, who is the exact polar opposite, I think. But then they took him to the extreme of wanting to restore the Republic.
That's a big problem historically. We can get more into the weeds of this, but when I was watching it the first time, I did just kind of, I never talk in the cinema, but I was like, well, he says Rome was born a republic, I think. You'll see whether I'm right when it comes on. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
I think if there's a movie that you are allowed to have outbursts in, it's possibly this one. Gladiator also makes the rather strange decision of having Commodus kill his father, Marcus Aurelius. This is massive spoiler, sorry. I hope that none of you were coming into this blind. There's no basis for that kind of thing, is there? I mean, I know that Commodus is accused of a lot of heinous kind of things, but patricide, which the Romans fiercely frowned upon.
It's the worst crime.
Worst crime.
Possible crime you can commit, because your father is the person, you know, he's the father of the family, the paterfamilias.
He gave you life, he can take it away.
Oh, yeah. So it's obviously to build Commodus up as the worst possible person who exists, but also the worst person to be emperor. And we have nothing in the historical sources that suggests this at all. And they're very hostile historical sources. So if they could suggest that, they definitely would. I guess if you want a source for this, this is the last time I'm going to mention it, I think. But The Fall of the Roman Empire, he poisons his father. So it's going to be a bit different in this one. Now, Cassius Dio, a Greek historian who was actually alive at the time of Commodus, and in his, well, in the version we have, the kind of summary epitome of his history, he says, you know, I was at these gladiatorial games where we had to sit and pretend that we liked it, that Commodus was fighting. So he was there. And he mentions a rumor that Marcus Aurelius's doctors poisoned him. But the idea is they're poisoning Marcus to try and curry favor with Commodus, so getting him to power sooner. But even Cassius Dio doesn't suggest that Commodus was in league with them. And as I say, Dio really hates him, so he'd say it if he could. But I think that all of this comes out of what the sources tend to do, not just Dio, but the biography of Commodus, which is a real disappointment with the idea that Marcus Aurelius, who's seen kind of universally as this very wise, I mean, actually a philosopher, a Stoic philosopher who has left us philosophical texts. He, who was so great and also a great kind of warrior emperor, could not notice that his son was so inept and so immoral and not have made sure that he wasn't going to be emperor after him. And this comes out of that idea that there were five good emperors. Marcus Aurelius is the last one. And this is something that Edward Gibbon in particular kind of stokes in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. But Cassius Dio would kind of put it there because he said, oh, now I come to a point in my history where everything turns from gold to iron and rust. And he means when Commodus comes to be emperor. So, you know, there is that idea floating around, but it's very hard to argue from what happened that Marcus has any doubts. He's really priming Commodus to be emperor. You could say Commodus is very young when he gets to be emperor. He's only 18. So along the lines of, you know, Nero was only 17. It never seems to work out very well. But Marcus had made him co-emperor 3 years before that. Co-emperor at 15. Quite a go. When he was consul that year, the previous year, he'd been acclaimed imperator or general. There's no sign in any of this that Marcus is worried about what Commodus is going to become.
So another theme that the movie tries to play up is incest between Commodus and his sister.
Commodus is interested in incestuous relationship.
Yes, it's not like a mutual thing in the movie. But is there evidence for that in history?
No.
I mean, it's not unknown, that kind of thing in Roman circles.
So I think they've borrowed it from Caligula. This is what I mean about, we'll just have a little look through Roman history and we'll take a bit of Caligula, shove a bit of Nero on there. So Lucilla and Commodus do seem to have been enemies. Lucilla, in fact, conspires against Commodus, but incest is not part of the story from ancient sources, I'm afraid. Lucilla has an interesting history. We'll briefly dip into this. She'd been married to Marcus Aurelius seemed to like having co-emperors, so making Commodus his co-emperor towards the end of his life. The beginning of his reign, he'd had a co-emperor called Lucius Verus, who was a bit disastrous. But anyway, he'd married his daughter off to Lucius Verus. So Lucilla was married to him. They had three children. They did have a child called Lucius, because the Romans are very boring in their naming. But he died young. So there's a child here called Lucius who shouldn't still be around if we're going by history.
Well, he grows up and is the star of Gladiator 2 as well.
Yeah, well, giving a lot away here. She should actually be remarried as well. She was remarried apparently against her will and had another son with her new husband. And another of our sources, a man called Herodian, reports that she was jealous of Commodus's wife. Commodus should have a wife, another woman who's missing, and instigated a plot against Commodus. This is genius in a way. Dio says of her, this is a great quote, she was no more modest or chaste than her brother and detested her husband. This is a bad thing for a Roman woman to do. Her husband's called Pompeianus. So she persuades him to assassinate Commodus, knowing that he'll be caught. Either she'll get rid of Commodus or her husband will be caught and she'll get rid of him, or maybe both. It doesn't work out. In fact, her husband gets caught and she is implicated as well. So she gets exiled to an island. And I mean, it's Capri, so you'd think Capri's beautiful. But being exiled by the emperor actually doesn't ever work out because she gets murdered on the island fairly early in the reign. She should be dead in 182 and Commodus only comes to power in 180.
So. Right, but she's hanging around this movie.
Yeah, sorry, she's there, even though she should be...
swooning over Maximus, yeah. And who can blame her? Gladiator portrays Commodus as being very enthusiastic about gladiatorial combat, to the point where he fights and, spoiler, dies in the arena. We'll come back to his death, but as far as the participation in the gladiator matches...
this is finally something that's true. He absolutely loved it, apparently. He fought as what's called a secutor, somebody who pursues. He's armed with a sword and he's got this sturdy shield. Our sources suggest that the Romans in general weren't impressed with this. Remember I said Cassius Dio was actually alive during this time? And he says, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed talking about this because it's beneath the emperor and he should be leading armies into battle. But while he was there, the crowd was ordered to call Commodus Lord and Victor and shout out encouraging remarks at him. And also that some of them were scared to go in because Commodus would at various times say, I'm going to pretend to be Hercules and I'm killing the Stymphalian birds and just take out a bow and arrow and kind of
start shooting
into the audience. And they're like, wow. You could die at this performance.
Just throw flowers.
Yeah. There is a rumour as well in our very unreliable biography of Commodus that he wasn't actually the son of Marcus Aurelius, but his father was a gladiator and that his mother had taken a lover. So this is a kind of, well, we need to explain why there's this weird aberration going on and Commodus is out there in the arena, which, given what I think is going to happen in the sequel, something like this will play out. Yes, there's going to be...
No, I don't know.
Well, you've written this in the notes, Matt.
Have I really?
Yeah. Okay. Ironic, given the sequel to Gladiator.
In the sequel to Gladiator, the main character, played by Paul Mescal, mm-hmm. is that his name? Mm-hmm. Is the son of Maximus and Lucilla.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work, because my memory of the film, let's see when it comes on, is that Maximus and Lucilla haven't seen each other for years. It seems like they had some adolescent dalliance. That's my impression.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Won't we?
I mean, he's been at war for years.
Yeah,
he didn't have time to run back and have an affair with Lucilla.
No, but it's after that. He comes back to Rome, becomes a gladiator, and then there's a time jump. Is there a time jump?
No, not that much of a time jump.
Anyway, all right. We will see.
Yeah.
Can I read the terrible quote? I do not like this quote. This is a quote about Commodus's behaviour.
Yeah, he didn't play ball.
Yeah.
This is according to Dyer.
He had once got together all the men in the city who had lost their feet as a result of disease or some accident, and then after fastening about their knees some likeness of serpent bodies, giving them sponges to throw instead of stones, he killed them with blows of his clubs, pretending that they were giants.
It just seems like piling bad things onto bad things, like just at the beginning, choosing people who have already lost their feet to fight against. Very unfair. And I guess the film kind of suggests, I mean, it doesn't quite do this, but it suggests that Commodus won't play fair. He pre-injures his opponents, so he pre-injures Maximus before they go into the arena, right?
And he slew many animals, rhinoceroses and a camel leopard, which we now call a giraffe. But that is a very cool name. I reckon bring back the camel leopard. On one day, reportedly 100 lions. And I don't even know if that's possible. That'd be exhausting.
Yeah, that's followed up by 5 hippopotami and 2 elephants over 2 days.
Just for breakfast.
So that's a bit more manageable, taking 2 days to do it, I think. I read somewhere 100 bears as well. So the 100 seems to be...
Nice round number.
Yeah, I guess. Crazy either way.
I don't think it'd make for a good show. But anyway, Romans, what are you going to do? So what's missing from this film that you would have liked to have seen?
I mean, obviously the Hercules element.
I'd like to see the Gladiator product placement. I wanted to see sponsorship, which is full on a thing that they did. And Ridley Scott read about gladiators having sponsorship and reading out commercials and everything in the arena. And he said, no, that's too unrealistic for me. That's where he drew the line. I want to see that, though.
I mean, certainly they have backers. And I guess in this, there's a gladiator school and, you know, their trainer, Proximo.
Yeah.
Joke.
But...
Because he says, I will always be close to you or something. And it's Latin for very close.
That's Proximus. Like a Roman dad joke.
I don't know how many people in the audience regularly get that, so no, you're in the know.
I can tell my mother's laugh and I appreciate it.
What else is... Oh, I know. I've got a good one for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I read through the Augustan history again, that biography that's very unreliable. And it's just stacked up with omens. And I know you love an omen.
I do love a good omen, yes.
And the omens, it's not very precise. It doesn't seem to be just omens that Commodus will die, but just omens generally that his whole reign is going to be terrible, the whole 12 years. Mm. It's things like comets. They're a bit run-of-the-mill, to be honest. Footprints of the gods exiting the forum. It's like the gods are leaving us. Life is so bad. Firebirds? That might be phoenixes.
Yeah.
It might be a yeah.
So Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Augustan history prognosticated that we'd get Joaquin Phoenix.
It foretold that he would play the role.
And the Furies. The Furies who turn up to avenge, according to Greek and Roman myth, terrible events and murders. So they're kind of these terrifying goddesses. They appear in Rome.
Mm.
All these kind of visions of terrible things coming down on Rome in the reign of Commodus.
Still, my favourite omen is that the Emperor Pertinax is going to die because a horse fell off the roof. Still my favourite. It's not going to top that.
Yeah, okay. Because you've got to ask, what was it doing on the roof?
So many questions. So in this movie, Commodus dies in the arena, killed by Maximus. Spoilers, of course. But what is the truth behind the death of Commodus? I believe this is one of those things that is so unbelievable that Ridley Scott said no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I think he went for the spectacle of the death in the arena, because it's called Gladiator and Commodus fought as a gladiator.
Yes.
But maybe you're right. Maybe he wasn't that keen on the actual story. So if we just backtrack slightly, one of the things that you could have included that I've already mentioned is that Commodus was married to a woman called Crispina Brutina. He also exiled and had her killed. Mm. She was also off on Capri briefly. After that, he takes a mistress called Marcia. This is a weird thing about her. Dio Cassius reports that she was kind to Christians. I know. He just says that. He doesn't say anything else. We don't know any detail. I mean, he doesn't really understand what Christians are. And
yeah,
it's all a bit mysterious.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to make her sound like she was involved with, you know, a weird cult or something. Anyway, she was also involved in his death. Dio, again, he says that Commodus was threatening to kill both consuls, presumably the new consuls coming in for 192, on New Year's Day, and then himself appear in the arena as a gladiator. And he was going to be the consul for the year as well, given that he'd offed the other two. All right, so he's planning that on New Year's Day, but he gets murdered on New Year's Eve, so this never happens. The Praetorian Prefect, the man who is meant to guard him, who's called Laetus, and a court secretary who has a great name, he's called Eclectus. That sounds made up. It sounds like it's from Asterix to me. Eclectus, the stranger. But it's the name he's given. They've had enough of his weird behavior and his threats. And they also feel like this is very undignified, him appearing in the arena at all, but that he's going to do this on New Year's Day. Herodian also says they're both on his execution list. So he's got a list. I'm going to get rid of this, but and the consuls are at the top of that list. But a bit lower down are Laetus and Eclectus. So they enlist Marcia to put poison in his beef.
Mm.
But it's very Rasputin. Maybe this is why Ridley Scott thought it was all a bit too much. Because Commodus spends the day drinking, overindulging, and at the baths, and he just throws up his dinner. He doesn't get poisoned. So they very quickly send in an athlete who's got the great name of Narcissus to strangle him in his bath. Which I think is a bit, I mean, that's just a bit of a, he got strangled. I guess surviving the poisoning, but
not as exciting as
as
dying in the arena.
Mm.
Yeah, very kind of low key aquatic death for him. At least he was clean. At least he was clean. So we have a long gestating sequel about to come out in just a few weeks' time. What do you hope to see in this? Do you have high hopes or? Two small points about this is that I've got no real expectations for this movie at all after watching this. I'm hopefully going to enjoy it. And I do like in all the advertisements that they've done for this, which are absolutely terrible. They've like involved professional footballers and they've shot it in sporting arenas in the US. And it seems to be this is now the gladiatorial scene of our modern day, which
right.
I think is being much too cerebral for what they were aiming for.
Maybe so. Yeah. If you like football, you'll love this movie.
Yeah.
This brings me to what I'm wondering about, because I think it'll look great. I think it'll look spectacular and it'll be worth seeing on the big screen. So come see it here. But if you remember, or if you don't remember, you're about to see it. Right at the end of the film, with his dying words, it's Greek epic, actually, in that when Greek heroes are dying after they've had a spear through the throat, they still manage to give you about 50 lines of poetry as their dying speech. And Maximus here, he's wounded before he even gets in there, and he's clearly mortally wounded, but he manages to eke out, Rome is to be returned as a republic. You know, he's got this whole message.
And clearly that doesn't happen.
Well, it doesn't look like it, does it? What happened to that? Are they going to explain it or just ignore it?
Maybe just ignore it. We've got Caracalla, we've got Geta.
So they're a kind of warring pair of brothers.
They are. It's like they've taken a page from what we know about Caligula and they've tried to put him up on the screen times two.
I feel like every emperor is Caligula on the screen. This is what we're saying.
Yeah.
They've used him as the inspiration here. I mean, I'm looking forward to spectacular scenes in the arena. They're going to flood it and have a naval battle, which will be fantastic.
Yes.
I'm sure. And the Romans could do it. And I believe no one has ever really worked out how they did it. It happened during Domitian, another bad emperor. I think also during, it might not have been a specific battle, but it happened during the reign of Claudius. Because if I remember rightly, it is Claudius who, when they were about to take part in the naval battle, the gladiators or performers who were going to do this, they came on and said, "We who are about to die salute you, Caesar." And that's where that's from. We can make a little bingo card of whether they say that in the new movie, because that seems like something that
they'll
has to
say
be
that
in there.
The movie. That's a gladiator thing now.
Yeah. And whether there'll be a thumbs up, thumbs down, surely. Mm-hmm. Which again, not really in our sources. We've got the thumb turned and the thumb pressed. And your guess is as good as mine as to what those things mean. But 19th century art decided that meant kill them. So that's where we've got that from, paintings. There's a very famous painting of the emperor going like this and a gladiator holding his sword over a fallen gladiator.
I want to see gladiators with advertisements, with sponsorship buttons. I want to see them with social media presences. It's going to be great.
That was Rhiannon Evans, Associate Professor in Classics and Ancient History at La Trobe University, and you have been listening to a live recording of the Emperors of Rome podcast. I'd like to thank the venue, the Thornbury Picture House in Melbourne, and we also had two Roman legionaries escorting us onto the stage. Thanks to Gaius Sempronius Scepus Agricola and Gaius Julius Rufus from the Ancient Roman Reenactors Victoria. Ave to you. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends. We are on social media. You can find Emperors of Rome podcast at Facebook, and you can also follow us at Blue Sky. Rhiannon is at Dr. Rhiannon. I am at Nightlight Guy, and the podcast is at Rome Podcast. A big thanks to all the listeners and supporters of the Emperors of Rome podcast that we've had throughout the last 10 years. We are, as always, a podcast recorded and produced at La Trobe University in Melbourne, Australia, on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. So now that we've officially kicked off the XI year of Emperors of Rome, I'm Matt Smith. You've been fantastic, and thanks for listening.